Book 4. Island of Doom.
Prologue. Resurrection Men.
William Mad Dog Middleton faced the gallows rope with a jaundiced eye. He'd lived 36 years, the last 5 in Sumter, Oregon, during the final dregs of a dying gold rush. In a fit of cold anger, he'd murdered 3 prospectors for their meager findings, and now he was about to hang. It was that simple. He'd never been maudlin, and felt only a slight annoyance as he stared back at the gathered crowd. Faces he recognized from the saloons, from brawls, all eager to watch him swing. Life had been harsh. He had been harsh. He was happy to go. His heart didn't skip a beat when the hangman placed the rope around his neck. "Get it done," was all he said, his final words. The trapdoor opened, and 1 minute later Middleton was pronounced dead by a doctor. The law had been upheld, along with his neck. Middleton's journey didn't end there. The sheriff, who was also the coroner, barked at the gravediggers, "Take him up to Stony Cemetery and throw him in a hole." They placed his large body in a wagon and drew it to an unmarked grave in the half-frozen ground outside Sumter. It was shallow because of the frost and stones. There was no one to mourn him. The men who threw the dirt did their job quickly and left before nightfall. There were other graves. Some miners had died of consumption, others of a gunshot. He lay only yards away from his victims. A full hunter's moon appeared in the sky, the type William had preferred when he hunted deer. 3 men arrived. They were small, wiry, and dressed in black, faces covered by balaclavas. They unearthed his body, placed it in a coffin, shrouded William with ice, and adjusted several dials on the lid. They were professional resurrection men from the Far East, the finest at their job. His body was transported by cart to a train and settled beside the first-class baggage, the closest Middleton had ever come to riding first class. At the coast, he was loaded onto a mid-sized paddle steamer alongside several other coffins from the United States and Canada. There had been 3 other hangings in the Rockies. 1 other coffin contained the recipient of a bullet, a natural cause of death on the frontier. There was gold to be found, stakes to be claimed, land to be purchased, all of which often led to arguments and ended in gunfire. William wouldn't know it, but his coffin was next to one containing the body of a magistrate and sometime novelist named Duncan MacTavish. He'd been locally famous for his wit, his loquacious use of words, and his love of money. He'd poisoned his wife to inherit her fortune, and instead had received a hanging. If he and Middleton were alive, neither would have had much to converse about. Being dead, this presented no problem. The steamship was named Triton II, and it plied the Pacific without the flag of any nation, the caskets rattling in the hold. Most smaller ships would hug the shore for safety as they travelled, but this one had compressed coal and an engine that would be the envy of any navy. It sped directly west, cutting through the waves. 2 evenings later, the vessel arrived at an island and was met by armed patrol ships. Messages were relayed by lantern, and the ship was guided into a port as large as any in London or France. The eyes of the resurrection men widened, for in the center of the island was a fortress of glass. The moon painted it a glowing yellow. They knew that inside that palace was the man whom they referred to as the Dragon Master. This man was a visionary, renowned for the magnificence of his ideas and philosophies. Philosophies that the resurrectionists happened to agree with. And, as it turned out, the Dragon Master paid rather well. It was the middle of the night, but gas and electric lamps lit the work of soldiers building barricades to protect the docks. Others hauled wagons of dirt from excavations. Several of the grey-clad soldiers helped them unload the caskets and carry them to a cave a short distance away. The resurrectionists returned to their ship and the search for more flesh. And there, on the cold stones, sat 2 coffins. Shortly thereafter, 4 men in white coats came out and, in pairs, lifted the caskets and brought them into the cave. They sat both beside a work table littered with flasks, surgery tools, and electrical cables. One of the assistants awakened an old man dozing on a cot in the corner.
"Your supplies have been delivered, Dr. Hyde, sir," the assistant said.
The doctor nodded, shook the sleep out of his balding head, fumbled his glasses on, and approached the coffins. The first one he opened was Middleton's. When he saw the size and the condition of the corpse, he smiled. He began his work immediately.